Hey there, it's Will O'Callaghan here from Off The Ball, and before you dive into this podcast, here's one you're going to want to stick in your diary. This coming Friday, Apple Green's annual 24/7 event is back, and for just one day only, they've got loads of brilliant offers across their stores. You can pick up a chicken fillet roll or a breakfast roll for just €2.47, have a car wash for €2.47, or grab a packet of Tato crisps for just 24 cent. There are some great food offers too. You've got Whoppers, selected 6-inch Subway sandwiches, Taco Bell beefy melt burritos, and Chopstick small bite boxes, all available for, you guessed it, €2.47. It's only happening this Friday, so don't miss out. Head along to your local Apple Green store and make the most of these fantastic one-day-only offers. Terms and conditions do apply. And now, enjoy your podcast.
Off The Ball, GAA.
Does anyone here think we will go to win the All-Ireland final? No, thank you. So that question is nonsense. If our supporters want to enjoy it, let them enjoy it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
You're welcome along to Tuesday night's Off The Ball. It's Mick McCarthy here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. It's football final week, but before we get onto all that from tomorrow on, there's a lot to reflect on tonight and what a lineup we have to do it. It's Brian O'Driscoll, who's happy to see the rugby season gone after Ireland's defeat in Auckland at the weekend. So he's going to be in studio with us to round it all up after 9 o'clock this evening. Richie Hogan's analysis of the hurling season has been a highlight of the summer. He'll be with us at 8 o'clock to chat Limerick, Galway and 2026 as a whole. And we also bid farewell tonight to the World Cup. And having focused on the losing team last night, it's time to celebrate the European and World Champions. Graeme Hunter is back in Barcelona and joins us this hour. 087-9180-180 is the number to get us on WhatsApp. You can get us on social media at Off The Ball. You can comment on our YouTube page. Eve Conway is here with us tonight for the news round. How are you doing, Eve?
I'm all good.
Arthur, OD.
You checked the name there, did you?
Basking. No, I was just going to give you the first name then for you. There'll be people who don't know you. Still basking in Limerick's glory a couple of days on. Tuesday used to be the best drinking day of them, I have to say. Back when I used to celebrate these things. You know, the Tuesday was when you were taking it a bit far. Something made that even better, you know.
We were talking about it on Friday, and I see John Fogarty has a column about it today in the Examiner as well, about like it is already like you're already stretching, it feels, the limit of things to be not talking about the football already when it's like just 5 days away or whatever.
Now.
So you really are kind of it's an unfortunate thing that they do roll one into another quite so quickly, but still enjoying it. Looking forward to watching it back, actually.
Are you?
Yeah, I think so. It'll be a bit of a, like, it's not the... how many times would you have watched back the 24 final?
I haven't watched it in full.
Really?
At all, actually. I've always had it as this kind of thing of I'm looking forward to do. And it's so funny because we were doing our power rankings earlier on. And Rachel Sheehan, who's obviously from Cork, said that she went home after the All-Ireland to watch the 2024 final. I was like, my God, you watch a defeat again. God, I would never watch one of them. I'm looking forward to someday watching the 2024 final. I did watch it again on the Monday.
Okay.
Sorry, but then I never watched it again after that. Sorry.
I want to get to the bottom of that. What's she doing?
She said, I don't know, she's kind of mixed in between like a glutton for punishment and seeing kind of maybe what Cork could have done and like a thrilling hurling game after how kind of unthrilling, I suppose, Sunday was.
Depending on your perspective, but yeah, I get you. But fair play to her. I wouldn't dream of doing that. Especially not that. It was hard.
No, I actually never really got to the bottom of it. We were under a bit of time pressure. I must find out what she was doing. It's crazy behaviour. Got to relive that kind of like absolute heartache. I don't know.
What a pro.
Yeah.
I won't even watch back highlights of a big loss. That's even too much.
Do you know, that's an interesting point. I feel like I've got way more inclined to not do that in recent years. So it's like, actually, and you know what? Especially with teams that like, I intensely care about in the moment, but it doesn't affect my life. like for like Aston Villa would be one of those. You know what I mean? It's like the Clare team and stuff like that for me would be a bit different. It's more in you and it's more surrounded by people as well, with your family and different things. Whereas Villa is just like a personal thing. But it's like, it's like as if I want to turn it off. They play badly or do terribly. This is like, not watching any analysis, not watching any highlights. I don't really need to see how they've what they've done badly. I just want to disengage from it completely.
I've never watched a second back of the 2019 Champions League final.
No.
Not a second.
Yeah,
As a Spurs fan, I turned the television off and I have never seen...
No post-match analysis?
Nope.
Yeah, I've gone off post-match analysis completely about a game that I'm invested in as well. I don't want to hear less passionate people talking about it.
But it's funny, after a thing like Sunday, I'm sure you know, you cannot consume enough.
After a win?
Yeah, like a win like that where you're like, give me everything I can possibly see. Now, to be fair, it was a little bit like that last Thursday or Wednesday or whatever it was after the England defeat as well. It's like dying to go, let's see what they've been saying.
Would you engage with content leading up to a big match? Are you too nervous? Like if I couldn't be listening to lots of pre-match stuff.
Really funny. No, not for things I'm invested interest in. I don't do it. I can never do it. I never get any joy from it. Because it's
almost... No, you don't. You were tetchy during the week. I don't mean in a mood way, but it's like you couldn't really get into much like what's... You'd sort of have this thing where you'll say something that was like the Arthur's kind of way of doing it and goes, I'll be interested anyway. I kind of walked out of the room and you're like, I was hoping for a good old 20 minute chat there. But you're not one to engage on it in advance. It's all just nerves and shakiness.
Yeah, there's no upside to it, I find, because you're only going to talk yourself into misplaced confidence or worry yourself.
I'm fascinated by this. People get in touch with us on 087-918-180 about how you engage with your sports teams, because I think pre-match, post-match, because another thing I would say is that, and this would be Clare Championship written all over it for me, is that there's a process of the week. So you go into a kind of a Sunday, Monday, the week before, and depending on who you're playing, you might think you've no chance. As the week goes on, you think about it a little bit more. You start thinking of matchups. You start thinking of ways that it might work and ways it might go. And by Friday, you're convinced they're going to win.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, if the game's on Sunday, Saturday you start getting a bit nervous. And then by Sunday, you're just a nervous wreck and you have no linear or rational thoughts whatsoever. And there's like anything could come out of you at that point. Like, you know what I mean? You're useless to all men and women at that point. But... So there's no conscious thought at all. And I don't know where you ever hit reality. It's all fooling yourself.
Yeah.
You're way too negative, followed by way too positive, followed by, you know, blubbering mess.
It is. It's horrible.
But there's no enjoyment in sport whatsoever.
It's really hard to find what the appeal is.
Because when you win, it's sort of just,
It's already over, yeah. So it really is hard to find. What's the sweet spot like? What are you doing it for? It's definitely like to have, like, it is. Even on Sunday where you're like, they're 12 points up and you're like, logically, like if I was to open my phone now, everyone will be, that's done, game over. It's like, I don't feel that way. It's not like you're getting to enjoy it. And eventually you kind of season. But then as you're saying, like at 5, whatever, it's like, well, that's done. It's like, obviously there'll be, you know, you're a little
there's
bit of reverb.
A relief and a...
Yeah, but like it is, it's just that relentlessness of... Well, it is bound to start again at some point. It can never be completed.
Eve, you had an interesting one with Spurs last year because you were so angry with them.
Yeah.
And you were really, like, disengaged in terms of, like, you know, any positives, but you're still living and dying by what was happening.
It was a horrible few months, that relegation fight.
But even when they stayed up, you had no real joy in it whatsoever.
No, it wasn't. There was nothing at all joyful. It was more a sense of, and it wasn't even relief. Either. Yeah. It was more just thank God it's over and like there's a World Cup in the summer and you can focus on something else. But at the same time, if you had said to me, well, just disengage completely and stop watching these matches, I think, well, that would have made me more angry because then I'm just not even seeing what's happening. In terms of though, what's the sporting sweet spot? Because obviously for soccer and for Tottenham, that there was just nothing good in that entire campaign. But I was thinking of the Leinster, the football final that I was at this year. And it was my first time actually in Croke Park for a big match like that. I mean, Westmeath don't really make those finals that often. And I will say the sweet spot was just the second it ended and then the noise and everything. Yeah. And everything after that, I was like, yeah, okay, this is
no,
fine.
I know.
There's like about 3 seconds, I think. And then it was like, oh, well, what's the next few weeks going to look like?
I forget who talked about it. I don't know, was it you saying it or was someone saying it? And it would have been a similar thing, because I'm sure the numbers of that were pretty high. But the it's stuff like the roar as the teams are going around the parade at the start. That never gets old. Mm. That is
all, like, and everybody, fair. All 83,000 yeah, yeah, at the yeah. Hope then.
That you is know, it's fair not just half. This yeah. is happening. That's class.
Yeah. I really do remember, I'll tell you another sweet spot. When somebody does something, like the main example for this is like when somebody does something that just has you in awe and you're so happy to have seen and proud of watching them and their career and supporting them and stuff. So Tony Kelly's performance, his goal, and then the point that came soon after in the 2024 All-Ireland final. I always remember that feeling of just standing up and just going like, oh my God, what am I watching here? You know, and it was such a beautiful thing after watching him since he was, God, he knows what age, play at all levels. But actually, one I remember even more recently was I was away for the semi-final against Limerick, which Clare were obviously underdogs for. So when I went to the quarter-final in Thurles against Dublin, there was this feeling of if Clare win this game but don't win the semi-final, this could be the last time I watch Shane O'Donnell playing for Clare. And he got that point that people remember where he runs diagonally across the pitch, misses a pass, picks it up himself, turns, hits it over the bar. And it was, again, one of those ones where you just go, oh, you know. But it was this feeling, is like, I'm glad I got a Shane O'Donnell, oh, moment in my last match watching him, you know.
Hitting like the person beside you.
Exactly, yeah. Just slapping him with the program, the leg. The rolled up program.
Yeah.
Good times.
Hey there, it's Will O'Callaghan here from Off The Ball. And before you dive into this podcast, here's one you're going to want to stick in your diary. This coming Friday, Apple Green's annual 24/7 event is back, and for just one day only, they've got loads of brilliant offers across their stores. You can pick up a chicken fillet roll or a breakfast roll for just €2.47, have a car wash for €2.47, or grab a packet of Tato crisps for just 24 cent. There are some great food offers too. You've got Whoppers, selected 6-inch Subway sandwiches, Taco Bell beefy melt burritos, and Chopstick small bite boxes, all available for, you guessed it, €2.47. It's only happening this Friday, so don't miss out. Head along to your local Apple Green store and make the most of these fantastic one-day-only offers. Terms and conditions do apply. And now, enjoy your podcast.
Anyway, get in touch with us, 087-918-180. I'm sure we're not the only ones. We've got Sean in Dublin here. It says, Mick, as a Wexican, I could never watch the 2019 All-Ireland semi-final back. That was the one that got away with Kilkenny in the final. And yeah, like that was did Wexford hit the... I'm struggling to remember the specifics, but did Wexford hit the crossbar and Tip went up the other end and scored a goal? Liam Sheedy talked about that game recently as being a full-on get-out-of-jail, and they kind of knew they were going to win the All-Ireland on the back of it because they really shouldn't have won that game. Like,
I remember that, yeah. I don't remember the exact details, but I remember there was Deeney-esque flip of a coin.
Did Brian Hogan catch a ball? No, that was called back against him, actually. I think that
over
was,
the bar.
It was over the bar, and Hawkeye gave it, even though it probably wasn't over. So that actually, that's a different example. That actually went for Wexford. But anyway, if you want to get in touch with us with any of your kind of sporting weirdness, I suppose this is the send it into 087-918-180. Eve, what have we got going on tonight?
So not really any sporting sweet spots for Rovers tonight. They were in European action and they lost 2-0 against Ararat Armenia in the first leg of their Champions League second qualifying round tie. So Stephen Bradley's side will now be hoping to progress to the third qualifying round for the first time since 2011, only if they pick up a result in next week's second leg and they need to turn around this 2-0 deficit. Speaking yesterday, Captain Pico Lopez spoke about what a win over the two legs in this fixture would mean for them.
Yeah, it's huge. It's massively important to say, like, winning that first round opens up so many possibilities, and that's what we want. We want to try and go one better than we did last year, and that has to be Europa League. So that's our goal. I think everyone's pretty clear on that. Like, so by getting that first round win, we've opened up a massive opportunity. Now it's a big test to get through first, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Now I know they turned it around last time with an unbelievable second leg performance, but better opposition this time. So.
And to do that kind of big turnaround twice in a row is difficult.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a lot to ask, really. I suppose getting past that first round was the key for Rovers. They obviously wanted to win this tie as well, and it was possible, and I suppose it still is possible. Get a two-goal lead, bring it to extra time in Tala, who knows? But not an ideal afternoon for them?
Not really. And I suppose when you look at who Shamrock Rovers will be facing in the next sort of round, it's either Celje or Ignatia, and I think they'll face the loser of whatever it is if they drop down. Mm. Listen, they're in a far better place than some of the other Irish teams in Europe. They have the opportunity to fall down to the Europa League qualifying rounds, or then I think last year they ended up in the Conference League where they also faced Celje but lost 2-0. So it's very much not over for Rovers, but not an ideal start.
No, definitely not. Dermot has texted in and said, Mick, over the years I have grown to not let let sport affect my mood as it was getting out of hand. Last year, I barely got excited about Liverpool matches, and even heading into this season, it's all a bit murky. I enjoy more watching and playing, or playing and watching. I've done the same. I've told this story on air before. I've definitely told you in person, but at one point I was accused of being a bit miserable or at the weekends with, wife and kids at home. And it was like, I have to check the Villa score, and if they lose, you're going to be an asshole. I'm like, oh, that isn't me. Surely that isn't possible that I could let that sort of thing affect how I deal with people. And then I kind of just like, I don't know. My self-reflection hasn't gone far enough to actually look into the past, but I've definitely decided not to let that happen one way or another anymore. That might be why I'm turning off the TV so quickly after games.
If I let Tottenham dictate my mood every week, it'd be a very sad life.
What else is going on? This is an insane transfer that we're about to talk about here.
Yeah, so Dutch international Crescencio Somerville is understood to be on his way to Al Hilal from West Ham. An agreement has been reached for a fee of 80 million euro, which will become the second highest player sale from a championship club. And the most expensive sale was also from West Ham this summer, as Tottenham spent 99 million euro on Matheus Fernandes.
Where has this come from? Somerville has been in the range of 30 to 40 million in discussions over the last week or so. This has been Manchester United, Villa, Roma. I think Roma had like 38 million turned down yesterday. Maybe that's in pounds, so it might be a little bit more in terms of euros. 47 million euros. Yeah, okay, turned down. Thanks, Ben. This is a huge jump. And I thought the whole Saudi money train was over.
Yeah, I think kind of.
Is the Strait of Hormuz open?
What? It's well, obviously, because he was being linked to Man United to some degree a few weeks ago, more so even. But now you see this, it's like, you're not serious about your career. That's fine.
He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
Just made his debut for
shocking
the Netherlands, playing the World Cup. 24 years old, off to retire in Saudi. And that is the perception. I'm sure that's not the way he's thinking of it. And I'm sure you get this. Did you see the Kevin Keegan interview that was going around of when he signed for Hamburg?
No.
Obviously, if people missed it, they won't have been. Kevin Keegan passed away yesterday. We spoke to Phil Thompson on the show last night. But an interview with him where he's being accused of being, he's accused of not being patriotic because he left Liverpool for Hamburg. Obviously, you think this is the 1970s, I suppose it's 30 years after World War II and everything like that. You kind of have to put yourself in those shoes because it just sounded so weird. And he was just like so calm, and he said, no, I don't see that at all. But it was the most honest interview ever, where he goes like, the tax system in England is awful, and it's like, this is a chance to set me up for life with my family, and this is wealth, like this is setting me up for life. That can't happen in England. So why I can't do anything except for take this offer. And it was just very, like, insanely honest, and so weird to hear a footballer talk about money in a uninhibited way. And I suppose it's because it was a lot less money than what they're getting now. And you can't say that, Somerville already wasn't set up for life or whatever. But it is still mad. Like, my instinct was, he's retiring already.
It's crazy.
He could come back in 2 years.
He could come back, but like, it is funny because like, did I hear somewhere, is John Duran gone somewhere back? He back in the general mix? Right, so like... So
that's about his fifth club since he left.
But like, it's like, why would you derail yourself like this? You're on an upward trajectory where you're going to be at a better club. International football going well for you, the good World Cup. Like, it's mad. And all the money, like, I guess people are driven by different things. I wouldn't be too quick to judge, but like, from a footballing point of view.
He just said he's not serious about his career.
My perception. My perception would be like, it's less about the glory aspect of it.
Yeah.
For you. You're happy to kind of waste your time these years playing in kind of a league way below your talent because they're going to pay you hilarious money. But like, I'm not seeing many, again, in terms of money, grand, but like in sporting success, I've not seen much good come out of anyone who's made this move. It's a bit of concession, I suppose, to the realities of... It's grim, but off with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Text in here from Onan at Somerville. It's down to Sullivan not selling players on a whim, thinking he's a football genius. Kretinsky already changing things up. It's great. Oh, might be a West Ham fan there, I would say, who just sees a nice future in things with 200 million in the bank to start their championship season. Are they going to buy any players? They've kept Jared Bowen, which was a bit of a surprise and a disappointment to Aston Villa fans.
I mean, if you look at West Ham immediately post relegation, the panic was, you know, we're going to lose Bowen and you're not going to get the requisite amount of money in to try and build a squad that will get you straight back up. And they've done that now already, and it's only July.
I know.
Where they're going to have their captain still and 200 million euro from two transfers.
You just even look at the price that Villa got João Gomes for. Like, there's a natural cut in price because the team got relegated and the team needs money. How West Ham have actually commanded so much money for both of these players is, like, that texter is 100% right. Like, this is an unbelievable piece of business for West Ham.
Like, it is, but like, even the Fernandez one, I don't know what, I've not seen it in Euro before, but it was 80 something million pounds, wasn't it? It's like, My reaction was like
9 million euro.
What on earth are Spurs doing? Like, what are you doing? This is mad.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing.
Spurs are having the spending summer.
Freewheeling. Like, it's unbelievable.
Having a bit of a midlife crisis.
Just throw money at everyone. I couldn't believe it. Like, you know, when you're going in and you're outbidding whatever Man United are willing to pay.
Constantly. Like
you've got to be having a look. Yeah. You've got to be like, why are they not going to this? These, you know, famously.
Spurs have been saving up for this transfer window for 10 years. They've been putting their money in a piggy bank to go out and buy every player they want.
I don't have it to hand. Was it after Bale was sold?
Oh.
They bought like six fellas in the summer. It was like a mixed bag. It was
Chadley,
a mixed
Eriksen,
bag.
Lamella. I love it.
No, maybe that was before Bale.
No, that was that. That was that summer. What a... Because every kind of few days you'd watch the Sky Sports News and there'd be another signing and you're going, God, we're going to build a dynasty. And then it didn't actually work.
A few more football stories.
So, more close to home. Dundalk have announced the signing of Republic of Ireland under-21 international Cian Dillon. The 20-year-old has signed from Queen's Park Rangers on a multi-year deal, and the Tala native was with Shamrock Rovers before his spell at QPR.
Okay.
And then we have Anthony Taylor, who's blown the final whistle on his 20-year career as a referee. He took charge of 831 games over the course of his career, the last one being Spain's 1-0 win over Portugal in the round of 16 in this World Cup. In 2020, he became the first referee in over a century to referee the FA Cup final twice, which was a stat that I just liked.
Yeah.
And then he announced today that officiating at the elite level has been an immense privilege, but the pressure is intense and the scrutiny constant. The time is now right to step aside and look forward to transitioning to the next chapter of my career.
Yeah, Anthony Taylor. I don't know. I have very few opinions on him. But people have really strong opinions on him. They're just, none of them are in this room, I think, are they? He was the most, like, he was the guy who was always accused of being a fan of everybody, though, wasn't he? Yeah, he was like...
He looked like he had a kind face. Like, I never had a problem with him. You know, you're going to make a joke and off a ref. It's like,
I think he is definitely one of those refs, though, that has a fake team. Like, his team is like altering him or something like that. You know, it's like, you know, he's definitely like a United fan or something like that. It doesn't mean he's biased in any way. He's been a pretty good referee. I saw, it's funny, the one thing at the World Cup that I laughed about referees, and you only really notice it when it's the English guys because you're kind of used to them, is like their name just been written on the back of their jersey with no name. It's like, I just feel like there's something about it without a number that makes it kind of aggressive or something. It's like, hey, Taylor! By the way, it was the Mexican coach, and I was away for all this, so I'm sure it was talked about the show many times, but the Mexican coach and Anthony Gordon thing, the funniest moment in the World Cup.
It was. You're a bit mad, though.
It was a bit insane. It was kind of like cacklingly evil in some way. Like,
it was too quick a transition.
That feels like a million years ago.
It does. It's a long World Cup, Eve. It's a long World Cup. Okay, this is interesting. La Liga president Javier Tebas and on Gianni Infantino.
Yeah, so if it feels like a long World Cup for us, probably felt longer for Infantino. So yeah, as you said, Tebas believes that FIFA's election system is rotten at its core. He's called for FIFA president Gianni Infantino to step down, claiming that FIFA is destroying the football industry. Infantino is expected to be re-elected for a fourth term at FIFA's Congress in March 2027. Meanwhile, former FIFA president Sepp Blatter, who was at the helm for 17 years, also wants Infantino gone. In a social media post today, where he tagged both Infantino and Donald Trump, he insisted that politics shouldn't be allowed to overshadow the game, and he claims that this World Cup has lost its credibility.
I think Infantino is probably after consolidating his position there by Sepp Blatter coming after him. Probably helps him. Look, ultimately, the thing about Infantino is this sort of thing needs to be ramped up to a degree where you can't move without people calling for his resignation or whatever, because ultimately he will weather this, it will move on, and he will be unopposed in his re-election as FIFA president. I mean, there's almost nothing to suggest that's not going to happen. I think something like only five of the 200 and whatever nations there are in FIFA have not already pledged their support to vote for him.
So, majority.
Yeah, like, you know, I think we might be one of them. I don't know, actually, so I probably should check that. But
I have a message in here.
Yeah.
Ask me about Stormy out of a Clare Waterford match.
Is that from my wife?
From someone's wife?
Yeah. I did Storm out of a Clare Waterford match with her. Yeah, one of the first games we went to together.
What year is this?
2016.
We'd
just beaten them in the league final two weeks before. And then in the first round of the championship. And I didn't storm out so much as I was just like, I decided the game was over and I left. Now, I didn't hang around to see how closely I was being followed. So I was kind of gone off on my own a bit. And as you go down the steps, there's a stand in Thurles that you go out, kind of, you go down to the ground almost to go out the tunnel. And this is that one. And as I'm walking down, Mara Shanahan basically scores the sealer out on the sideline and turns around into the crowd with a big kind of rah. And as he's doing it, I've reached the ground and he's basically almost face to face with me. And I'm just like the angriest I could possibly be as a human being and storm down the tunnel. That was it.
When did she catch up with you?
Like 5 seconds later.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't too bad. Like, do you know what I mean? She knew I was going. It was just, you know. Look, I'm not a sane person. I don't apologize for it. This is who I am.
It's good, man. Day.
Good,
we're crazy people when we watch sport. We care about it. We have a passion for it. What's the problem?
Well, and on that,
speaking of a man with a crazy
passion for his sport,
we're going to talk about Armagh now. It was announced last night that Armagh senior football manager Ciarán Maginni will remain in his position for 2027. The 54-year-old guided his county to All-Ireland success in 2024, and he ended their 18-year wait for an Ulster title this season after losing in the final in 23, 24 and 25. He's been at the helm at Armagh since 2014, making him the longest-serving inter-county football manager.
And you will hear more about all of this from Ciarán Maginni himself, who's going to be at our Croke Park Roadshow this Thursday. Sold out, unfortunately, but we will have clips and podcasts and radio slots of it, so you'll be able to hear him talking to Tommy and Owen on Thursday night in Croke Park at our All-Ireland preview show.
That's a long 4 or 12 years.
Yeah. After a really long stint with Kildare before.
And an awful long playing career.
Yeah.
Is he one of them? Is he one of those guys who's like not been out of it since like the 80s? It's like some mad amount of time that he's been involved in inter-county setup basically every. I think even in the year he was off, was he involved with Tipperary Hurlers briefly?
Oh, yeah, that rings the bell. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he has some mad unbroken streak of like.
Okay, I wonder when his debut was, yeah, for Armagh. And sure, I presume he was playing underage and everything like that as well. For
yeah, you suspect half probably. Life, yeah, like, you know?
Yeah.
What a no brainer, though.
Okay. We're nearly out of time here, but we should mention the All Ireland football final before we go.
Yeah, so Kerry manager Jack O'Connor has been speaking to Jonathan Higgins ahead of the All-Ireland football final this weekend. Kerry looking, of course, to make it two in a row as they face Mayo on Sunday in Croke Park. O'Connor believes that his team can look to both youth and experience.
I was drawn to a line that you did, I think an interview you did at the end of last year, saying had you not won the final, that would have been it, you wouldn't have come back. Are you kind of glad you come back now for days like this?
Well, I wouldn't have been asked back, first of all.
Maybe that's a different way.
the choice wouldn't have been mine. So look, I'm still enjoying it. If that's what you're asking me, you know, it's a great bonus for me this hour of my life to be still involved with a great bunch of players, you know, who are very easily managed, and you know, the great enthusiasm around the county. So I'm privileged to be involved.
A slightly different Mayo in terms of Andy in first year in charge, and then but younger players potentially in the squad as well. It's a different dynamic from both sides, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah, and you'd be hoping that maybe our experience might be a bit of an advantage to us. But there's also the other side of the coin, the exuberance and the enthusiasm of youth, and you know, with no hint of fear in them. So they might shoot the lights on a big day, you know. So there's that side of it as well. And I remember Paddy Shea telling me one time that the more finals he played and the more nervous he got. So it can work for you or against you, depending on your own makeup.
Yeah, Jack O'Connor there will be starting our build-up in earnest to the All-Ireland final on tomorrow night's show. One last quick story, Eve.
Yeah, on Rashida Adeleke. She's only going to run the 200 metres at this weekend's National Track and Field Championship in Santry. It's her last chance to qualify as an individual for the European Championships. She needs to run a 22.85 second or faster before July 26th to book her place in Birmingham next month. And now she's committed to the 200 metres and will no longer contest qualification for the 400 metres. But Adeleke still could be named as part of the team for the women's 4x400 metres.
Yeah, interesting stuff. It's been a tough season and a half or so for Rashida, so hopefully that goes well in Santry this weekend. Okay, that is it. We will be back after the break with Graeme Hunter on Spain winning the World Cup. The news round was brought to you by Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film coated tablets contain sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.